Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to the church house.
Amen.
First, let's give a huge thank you to the praise team. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 122, verse 1. Running for Christ Ministries is a church of teaching, learning, and doing. This is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints, where we come as we are, but we don't stay as we are. I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor, O. His message today is titled Signs of the End Times. The text is Matthew 24, verses 1 through 14. So turn or click in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 24, verses 1 through 14. It reads as follows in the NLT. As Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. But he responded, "Do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth. They will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars. But don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers, and many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Amen. Let's listen with ears to hear and get the meat of this word and not just the milk. Our pastor O will deliver a message titled, Signs of the End Times. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Break it down for us.
Break it down for us.
Amen. 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 Thank God. Thank God that we have a Father.
Yes.
Who wants us to know. I used to go to a prayer meeting with my wife's grandmother, and she would say, "I've come too far, Lord, to turn around now. I'm going to run on and see what the end's going to be." But God has let us know what the end's going to be. Amen. So he wants us to hear this today, so that we can not be so earthly minded that we forget all about heaven. And at the same time, he don't want us to be so heavenly minded that we forget to live out our eternal life here on earth. Amen. Everlasting life starts in heaven. Eternal life is lived right here in history. So let us pray. Amen. Before we pray, let me say, good morning, Mother Shirley. Amen. Amen. I just thank God so much. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we thank you for being the kind of Father who wants us to know what the end's going to be, so that we can keep our mind focused on heaven and not just on earth. We do live here, Father, and you have given us a job. You blessed me to be able to preach yesterday and open revival on Visigoth Road, that we have the signs of the end times all in front of us, but yet we are called to be witnesses before we come home. You have given us this ministry of reconciliation. Our message is that you are no longer holding men's sins against them, but through your Son, Jesus Christ, they can find forgiveness for sins and get eternal life and not perish. So, Father, help us to not just hear this, but to understand it and make it make sense. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me, say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
And bless my heart.
So it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and my thoughts, they're not like yours. But I'm here today to change the way I think, to be transformed, so I can test and approve what your will is. Your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. Amen. Amen. It doesn't take a whole lot of looking to see which way our world is going today, especially here in America with our brand new president. Things are changing and things are changing rapidly. But the Lord don't want you to think that he is unaware of what's going on. And we should not be so shocked about what's going on. And we should be careful in our prayers when we ask God to stop it from going on. Because it's not like he did not tell us what things would be like in the end. And just to give us, Keila, so good to see you. Amen. She got so much faith, she prays herself right up out the hospital. Amen. And be going through it. Amen. Jesus likes, you know, amen. I'm sorry for that pause break. But I need Deaconess Rebecca, she just needs for us to get a little bit more understanding about the situations that we live in today and the things that are going on today so we can be reminded. She's going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and she's going to read about verses 1 through 4 just so we can be reminded of what things will be like in the last days. And tell me if you don't see all these things going on today.
You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister. Appreciate that. That is the world that we live in today. And so we should not be shocked that all that she read, we see every single day. And we try to pray that away. But the Lord told us in the last days, in the last and terrible days, that things would be like this. Now for us, that stuff is not about us. It's about so-called Christians who call themselves Christians. As you can see, If you've been paying attention, the Methodist Church is split in two now. And they split along the lines, and many have left the Methodist Church, and the reason they have is because they're starting to have acceptance of the LGBT community. They're saying it's no longer wrong to practice. Now, God loves everybody. It does not matter who it is. I'm not standing here telling you he hates the LGBT community. But what the Lord hates is the same thing he hates about us. is that when we practice these things, if you notice in the Bible, when it speaks about these things, it always speaks about the practice of them. It does not speak about the person. God does not. God so loved what? The world. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever just what? Believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, once we get everlasting life, then we start reading the epistles. We start reading other parts of the Bible that speak to us about our practices. God hates the practice of lying. Amen. God hates the practice of going to work and not working. God hates the practice of us minding other people's business. And so all throughout our Christian life, we work to amend those things. Now, we won't ever reach perfection in this life. Jesus Christ has settled that for us. He became the propitiation for our sins, meaning he completely satisfied God. We can't do anything that's going to make God love us less. But what we can do is live a lifestyle that God cannot bless. Amen? I know we love him. You heard me say it before. We probably got it in our homes, some of us. And it says, God bless this mess. No, he's not going to bless the mess. He'll bless you up out of the mess. I'll never forget when Pastor Barlow told me, I told him that God has lifted me up and brought me up off Saliad. He's lifted me up out of the muck and mire, out of the garbage can of life, and placed me on the solid rock. And he looked straight at me, and he, you know what he said, Kelly? He said, now look, don't go and get back in the garbage can, amen? And Aaron, don't you know I wouldn't jump straight back in the garbage can? Amen. What he was trying to get me to understand is it's easy to get saved because all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But walking away from that old life, that lifestyle that you used to practice, the things that we do, that's not so easy. It becomes a hard choice that we have to make to leave that for God. He's not going to magically make us stop lying. He ain't going to magically make us stop cussing. But progress in those areas is, I used to lie all day. Now I just lie half the day. I used to cuss all the time. Now I just cuss sometime. That is progress. That's what Jesus talks about in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, that he who began, when you got saved, Jesus began, mother, he began a work in us. Yeah. Amen? But he's going to carry it out to completion in heaven. When we have in our home going, amen, we're perfect. Amen? Because the dead body can't sin no more, right? Amen. Caleb can tell you when that body is dead, you don't have to worry about it sinning, lying, cheating, stealing, none of that. It's a wrap, right? So that's when we get perfect. Yes. But the Lord wants us to keep our mind, and the reason he tells us about the signs of the times, the things to pay attention to, is when we see all these things happening, he tells us, I believe it's in Luke, he tells us when you see all these things happening, rejoice. Yes. And why should we rejoice? Because our redemption is near. That means Jesus is just about to come rapture the church up out of the world. Amen? Right. So he wants us to know. He doesn't want us to get upset. He doesn't want us to get all twisted up talking about the world is going crazy. The world been going. If you read the Old Testament, y'all remember when we was reading through the Old Testament, talking about can't get right. Amen? We've been crazy since we left the garden. Ever since we got up out of that garden and we got our sin nature, we've been nutty as a fruitcake ever since then. Amen. We got so bad coming up to the time of the flood that God wiped out the whole world except for 8 people. Amen. And then that God promised, he put the rainbow in the sky. Amen. To remind him of the covenant that he made with all the earth, that he would never again destroy the earth with a flood because man is crazy. Amen? And so, and to keep his own promise that he made in Genesis 3:15 to send somebody to crush the devil's head, that means to crush his rulership over us, crush, break sin's grip on us. Now, as it tells us in Romans chapter 6, that we're no longer slaves to what? Sin. But we are and are becoming more and more every day slaves to Christ. Okay. Meaning we say no to us a whole lot more than we used to. And we say yes to Christ a whole lot more than we used to. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So God wants us to know and be aware of what's going on in the world today. It's amazing. When Jesus was, this is during the time where Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. If you've read my book, you read Jesus Christ from his birth to his ascension, you remember the Olivet Discourse. That's what this is. He had this discussion with them in the Garden of Gethsemane on Mount Olivet, right? And so they entitled it the Olivet Discourse. In other words, this is when he released something from heaven that had not been released into the earth. This is what the Bible calls a mystery. When you see that word mystery in the Bible, it means something that was previously hidden, but God is now revealing. And if you read my other book, Biblical Giving of All Things, amen, you read about dispensations, you read about different ages. And one of the things you noticed in each age, in each dispensation of time as we pass through history, that God revealed more about himself and his plan for mankind. Amen? And so in this Olivet Discourse that Jesus is having with his disciples, he reveals things to them that had previously been hidden. For instance, in the Old Testament, all they ever knew it, and witnesses to that, all that they ever knew was, amen, the millennial reign of Christ. When Lazarus died and his sisters got a little miffed with Jesus because they sent him a message 4 days before he got there. But when he got there, Lazarus had already died. And they said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Okay? And Jesus tried to give them faith to believe that even though he wasn't there, he's there now and he can do something. And so Jesus said to them, your brother will rise again. And they said, we know that. And they were Old Testament at this time, even though it's in the Gospels, it's the Old Testament. And so they said, we know that at the last day, he will rise. What they were talking about is the millennial reign of Christ. So all those Old Testament saints never heard of something that's been made known to us called the rapture. The Greek word for it, the Latin word for it is rapti. The Greek word for it, it escapes me right now. Amen. But it means a catching away, a snatching away. Something that happens in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as it's described in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So to them, this was brand new news. They got into this conversation, into this discourse with Jesus, because as they were leaving the temple and the temple complex, they wanted Jesus. You know, it's like when somebody goes to Chicago, and you look at all the beautiful buildings. You go to New York and you see all the beautiful buildings and you say to the person with you, look at all these beautiful buildings. Look at this wonderful architecture. Isn't it wonderful? That's what they were saying to Jesus. They wanted him to see the beauty of the work that Herod did. Of course, Herod was a two-sided person. On the one hand, he was a brilliant architect. On the other hand, he was a demoniac, okay? Somebody heavily... somebody possessed by a devil or heavily influenced by one. Okay, but on the architectural side, to ingratiate himself to the Jews, he did some wonderful work, built some wonderful, beautiful buildings. And they were saying to Jesus, look at all these beautiful buildings and look at the temple, the centerpiece. Isn't this awesome? Isn't this beautiful? And Jesus, mother, he said to them, you see all these buildings? All this wonderful, beautiful architecture, not one stone will be left upon another. They could not fathom that. They could not even imagine that that would happen. And the reason you know that they were stunned by what he said is because they had to cross the Kidron Valley to get to the Garden of Gethsemane. They had walked about maybe a mile or two, but they didn't say another word to Jesus after that. They were stunned. And then Matthew tells us that the disciples came to Jesus. Luke tells us who those disciples were. They were Peter, James, John, and Andrew. And they wanted to know more. They wanted to know when would all these things happen and what would be the signs of the times when they're happening. How can we recognize when this is about to happen? Amen. When would all of these be destroyed? Well, in AD 70, the Roman general Titus came through. Amen. He didn't want to destroy the temple complex, but because it had gold inlaid into the pillars that held up the temple, okay, and because Roman soldiers were kind of greedy, okay, for filthy lucre, for money, they leveled the place. Amen. They brought, not one stone was left upon another. So Jesus began to tell them and to answer their questions. Okay, they wanted to know when would this happen. The only part he told them would happen was in AD 70 when Titus came through. Okay, but then they wanted to know what will be the signs of your coming. How can we recognize by looking around the signs that say the rapture is about to happen? He wouldn't really talk to them about the rapture until he gets to verse 14, and then the verses after talk about the 7-year tribulation period. But he said the signs of the times would be many Christs would arise and say, follow me. How many remember Jim Jones? Yeah. You know, Jim Jones, when he spoke in one of his sermons, said, he talked about some of the miraculous things that were in the Bible, and he said, Jim Jones made that happen. Amen. And so he started claiming that he was Christ. Took all those folks to Guyana and then going to take them to a brand new kingdom. And what did he do? Those folks who wouldn't drink the poison he had shot with M16s. And some escaped. And the only reason we know about it is through those who escaped. Amen. How many of y'all know Sun Young Moon, the man that over there who married so many people, married what, about 250,000 people in one day?
Yep.
Amen. He started to claim that he was the Christ. Follow me. And a lot of people followed him. How many of y'all remember what happened right here in America down in Texas? Amen. What was his name?
David Koresh.
Amen. He had people saying he was the Messiah. And how many people died with him, the Branch Davidians, when they set that building on fire? How many of y'all remember Marshall Applegate? Okay, this is the man who told people that he was the Messiah, and they needed to take $5.75 and put it in a paper bag and put it in their pocket and then kill themselves. That would be the fare that it would cost to catch the spaceship that's going to take them to the new heaven. Amen. So many Christs have come and claimed, I am the Messiah. But Jesus says, don't follow them. Amen. The end is not yet, and they are not the Messiah. And we have to be careful today because a whole lot of churches fall in love with a pastor. Amen. And they get into what's called pastor worship. Now, if you mentioned it to them, they wouldn't say they worship their pastor. But you ask them this. Tell me something about your pastor, and they can just run it off, run it off, run it off, run it off. And then say, now tell me something about Jesus. And they can't. Amen? So whether they know it or not, they haven't fallen in love with Jesus, and a pastor, some pastors will lead you to follow them. I saw a pastor that y'all might be surprised. The other day, I saw him saying to his congregation, that Jesus wanted each member to give $1,000. And then he wanted those members to go to their co-workers on the job, Deaconess Loretta. He wanted them to go on their job to their co-workers and ask them for $1,000. Amen? Because he never did name why they wanted this money, but he claimed Jesus wanted him to do that. And so people who, what, love Jesus, love a pastor, was walking up and saying, here's $1,000. And then he said this, now claim the blessing. I'm like, what blessing?
Right. Jesus, what blessing is he talking about? He made up some kind of blessing. He gonna command Jesus to do something because these people give him $1,000. Y'all know who did that? Bishop Marvin Wines of the Perfecting Church right over there in Detroit. Amen. So you have to be careful that you don't get into pastor worship, where the pastor can say crazy things to you and you fall for that because you believe your pastor. We need to be like the Bereans when it comes to that, when they make these fantastical claims that God gonna bless you to do something that ain't even written in the Bible. The Lord ain't called for nothing but tithes and offerings. Any other thing above that, unless like they were collecting money in Acts, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, they were collecting money to help the Jerusalem church, or you want to give something to the Salvation Army, or you want to give something to St. Jude or Shriners or something like that, amen, God will bless you for blessing them. That's in the Bible, amen. But when they start telling you that Jesus wants you to sow $1,000 seed, and you say, I don't have $1,000 seed, Darius, Deacon Darius, but I do have $1,000 on my credit card, but it's the last $1,000. And they tell you, well, go ahead on and sow that seed, Brother Deacon, and God gonna bless you to pay that card off. Amen. You need to be like the Bereans. You're gonna be like, okay, hold up. I'm gonna go to the crib. I'm gonna open up my Bible and see if God said what you said. And then you come back, I couldn't find that in the Bible, so I'm going to head on and pray to God to help me pay my credit card off myself, and I'm going to keep my $1,000. Amen. So Jesus said many false prophets would rise and claim that I am the Messiah. In other words, I am the one who saves. I am the one who makes your life better. Just do what I tell you to do. So we have to be careful, brothers and sisters, when these false Christs pop up. These are people who put themselves in the place of Christ and start decreeing and declaring things. Let me tell you something. You can't decree and declare nothing that God ain't already said. If you decreeing and declaring something that God didn't say, you passing yourself off as a Christ. You passing yourself off as a Savior. Amen? So Jesus said many false Christ would appear and guess what? Deceive many. Let me tell you, it was a line of people standing there waiting to give $1,000. And they even went to their neighbors and went to their co-workers on the job, somebody who don't even go to that church. And they're trying to convince them to give the $1,000. They was that far gone in. Amen. So you have to be careful when these people put themselves in the place of Christ. And what do I mean by that? They start pronouncing blessings that ain't in the Bible. Yeah. They start telling you to do things with your money that's not in the Bible. One preacher said it like this. He called it the Jabez prayer. This is Mr. Murphy that be coming on TVN. And he said he wanted folks to give a Jabez prayer offering. Marcy, he said, you give $1,000 to me and guess what? If God give me a Rolex, he giving you one. If God give me a Rolls Royce, he's giving you one. Amen. I would say, wait a minute, Brother Murphy, you look like a devil anyway. I'm going to open up this Bible, amen, and see if God said what you said. That's what the Bereans did when Paul said what Paul said. The Bereans was like, And they went home. They opened up their Bibles to see if the Bible agreed with Paul said. And then the next day they came back and said, amen. Why? Because they found out what Paul said was already in the Bible and they could give him an amen. Amen. So Jesus said, be aware that many in the end times, in the last days, a lot of people are going to put themselves in the place of Jesus and start making protestations that are not in the Bible, putting themselves in the place of Christ, decreeing and declaring this. Amen. They do that a lot. And when people, I decree and I declare, amen. Now, if the next words that come out of their mouth are in the Bible, I'll roll with that because Jesus said that. But if those words are not in the Bible and you're just trying to gank me for some money, amen, because you greedy for filthy lucre, that's why Jesus tell preachers, and what is it, 1 Timothy chapter 3, you cannot be guilty, greedy for filthy lucre. That means you just in this thing for money. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17, I know that there are some people who are into this preaching ministry for the money. So it's up to us. It's up to you. It's up to us to make sure that we ain't getting ganked by somebody that we love because they are a pastor, and we just want to show our love for our pastor. Amen?
Yes.
So watch out that you're not involved with somebody who's setting themselves up to be a false Christ. Somebody who puts themselves in the place of Jesus and pronouncing blessings that you can't find in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
He told them to be aware. And it's been happening ever since Jesus left here. If you study Christian history, you will see that many Christs appeared long before we got to our days and times, long before Protestantism ever took place. That means it wasn't just the Catholic Church, but Protestant churches, Protestants against what the Catholic Church was teaching, started to spring up. Amen? He said that there would be wars and rumors of wars. And we got them going on all over the planet today. Israel today is committing genocide against the Palestinians. Amen?
Yes,
they're over there trying to wipe them out. But because we love Israel, we like this, we ain't gonna say nothing because that's Israel. And we gotta love Israel. If we don't love Israel, then we might be against God. But if you knew anything about God's plan for Israel, and the end times, you would go to Romans chapter 11 and find out that they will not, that remnant that God talks about, won't come in until the sixth sign during the 7-year tribulation period. There are seven events that's going to take place before the end comes, or the second coming of Christ to set up his millennial reign. The first sign is Israel would be repatriated back to their land. And that happened May 14, 1948. Israel was repatriated back to their land. The second sign is the European Union, or the EU that we know today, would be formed. And that happened, amen, in 1958. And then the third sign is what we're talking about right now. The third sign is twofold. The church will be raptured out of the world, amen, and the Antichrist will be ushered in. The church will be raptured out of the world. If you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you can get more information on that. When he appears, the church disappears. Amen. The only thing that's holding back the appearance of the Antichrist, who could be alive today on the planet, the only thing that's holding him back from coming to full power is the church. And it's put, it says, when the Spirit is taken out of the way, the only people on this earth who have the Holy Spirit in them are believers in Christ Jesus. And so when the church is raptured out, then the Antichrist can come to power. Amen. So Israel today is not the Israel that we think. They're the Israel that came out of Egypt. They're Israel that died in the wilderness. They're the ones who are always disobedient to God, not doing his will. So then the third sign is twofold. The church will be raptured out, and the Antichrist will come to power. The fourth sign of the second coming of Christ is when a new world religion will be formed. We won't be here for that. We'll be in heaven with the Lord. As it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, we get brand new bodies. And again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us about new bodies. And Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 says, we are now, right now, citizens of heaven, and we what? Look for our Savior to come from there, who by the power that enables him will give us what? Glorious bodies like his. So when the church is raptured out, the dead in Christ will what? Rise first, and those of us who are yet alive and remain will what? Be caught up together with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18 in 1 Thessalonians 4 says, therefore, wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. So we know that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us When these earthly tabernacles are dissolved, we have another body, a brand new body. I can't wait to get one. This one kind of messed up. Amen. It might look like it's all right, but it ain't all right. Amen. And so I can't wait till these earthly tabernacles are dissolved and we get another one, not made by a mother and a father having children, but one that's made by God. Amen. So the fourth sign of the second coming of Christ, church gets raptured out, Antichrist comes to power, a new religion is formed, a new world order comes into place. My wife asked me not too long ago because they were talking about Donald Trump and Putin and Xi and Kim Jong-un starting a new world order. Amen. And what they were talking about is America, because of the way we positioned ourselves, the whole world has left us. We can no longer be trusted. We're no longer a reliable trading partner. And so an axis of evil is being established. President Xi really doesn't like Kim Jong-un, and nor does he like Putin. But those three, along with Bolsonaro, are coming together to create an axis of evil. And who forced them into that? Our wonderful president. Amen. Amen. So, amen. So a new world order is being formed right now, and it will fully form during the 7-year tribulation period. Now the sixth sign is, you know how they keep talking about, now on the Temple Mount today, the Jews have a wall from the old temple. They call it the Western Wall. But on the actual spot where the temple used to be are two of the most holiest sites in Islam. The Al-Aqsa Mosque is there, and the Dome of the Rock is there. This is where the Muslims claim that Muhammad ascended into heaven, amen, standing right there on that mount. So they built, amen, the Dome of the Rock there, and next to it they built the Al-Aqsa Mosque. But during the tribulation period, the fifth sign of the second coming of Jesus Christ, guess what? The temple will be rebuilt. Yes, right there on the Temple Mount, it will be rebuilt. How they're going to convince how the Antichrist is going to convince the Muslims to give it up and allow the temple to be rebuilt, amen, is beyond me. But we won't be here. We will be in heaven with the Lord. Read Revelation chapter 4. You heard the song, I'll be somewhere around God's throne. Well, guess what? In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4, that's exactly where we end up, somewhere around God's throne. The 24 elders represent the Old and New Testament believers in Christ, and they've got crowns on their heads, and the white robes they wear is not their own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. Amen? Now, what's going to turn the Jews who are actually following the Antichrist from the Antichrist is in that fifth sign when the temple is built. The Antichrist is going to go into the temple and declare himself God above all other gods. That's when the Jews are going to lose it. That's when it's all going to fall apart for them. Okay, and the Antichrist is going to go hard after them, and they're going to go to a place that's in, today is in Jordan, amen, and it's called Petra. The reason they're going to go there is because it's easy for them to defend themselves there, because the entrance is only about 12 feet wide. So if you have an army of 10 million people, you can only get so many of them down that aisle, right? And it's easy for you to just stand at the other end and take them right out. Amen? So that will be the sixth sign of the second coming of Christ, that the Jews that we see committing this genocide today, that go right off into the 7-year tribulation period because they have not accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, that is when that remnant that the Lord is talking about in Romans chapter 11 comes into play. That is when the Jews and Gentiles will all come together and become one big happy family under Christ. Amen. And then after that, of course, there's the seventh sign of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that is when Jesus comes back with us, amen, to rule and to reign for 1,000 years on this earth. Church, do you know we have at least 1,700 years before all this happens? Amen. Amen. I mean, if the rapture happened today, we would have 1,700 years before we actually get to go into Revelation 21 and 22, when God will wipe every tear from their eyes. So y'all thought it was going to be tomorrow. Amen. We got a long way to go. But for 1,700 years, though, we will be with Christ. You will be with Christ. Amen. So Jesus wants us to know the end times. The Lord is the one, through the Holy Spirit, who taught all this to me. Because Revelation used to scare me. I used to read it, and it seemed like there was monsters over there. Things got things in their tail that's whipping people and killing them. I'm like, Jesus, what is all of this? And he stopped me from being scared of it. And Reverend Barlow went and got me a book from Dixon's down there on Woodward. And he said, boy, read this book. That's why he told you, boy, read this book. Amen. Amen. Because he was the one who taught me how to study God's word. Amen. Reverend Brown taught me how to be a builder of people in churches. And Reverend Pastor Davis taught me how to be faithful. He said, faith, amen. I told him that yesterday when I was preaching up there on visiting. I say, my pastor taught me that God rewards faithfulness. So I just told you a whole lot. Amen. But you can find all of this in my book. Jesus Christ from his birth to his ascension is talked in there. And you can find out about the dispensations of times and the covenants that we operate under in biblical giving. Amen. But God wants us to know all of this so that when we see the world going crazy, amen, we don't have to be afraid, amen, but we can be in faith, and whereas the world is afraid, we can tell them about Jesus, because God getting ready to do something that's going to scare the crap out of it. Well, he's doing it now. I told you about the farmers all over America who, because of the tariffs, are losing everything. I mean, imagine this. You sold $1 billion worth of soybeans to China last year. This year, you're zero. Okay? John Deere has lost over $300 million in the first 6 months of this year. They're projected to lose another $300 million, over $500 million because of the tariffs. The Lord is doing all this, y'all, not Donald Trump. Donald Trump can't do anything that doesn't cross the desk of God to get an okay to do it. Now, I'm not telling you that Trump works for Jesus. No, he don't. Trump works for Satan. Satan is the one who's bringing all this damage. But what the Lord wants us to know, that we are not going to be hurt by this damage. If you'll remember, when the Lord was destroying Egypt with them 10 plagues, where was his people? Over in the land of Goshen, were they getting tore up by the plagues? No. So what happened was, a lot of the Egyptian officials, guess what they did, Malachi? They're like, oh, Pharaoh, check this out. I'm going to run over here. This Jew over here owed me some money. I'm going to go over here to Goshen and get my money. I'll be back. Amen. But money, they ain't come back. And even though the Egyptians are like, look, them Christians has got a name. What's happening to us ain't happening to them. Amen. So guess what? God has plowed up the field. He got the whole world scared. But he don't want us scared. Amen. He want us to rejoice. Why? Because we know Jesus is going to come and get us. Amen. But he got the world scared to death. And they don't know, because they don't know God. They don't know about a rapture. They don't know that Jesus saves us from our sins. They run around here worried about, you know, man, I've been clowning. Even Donald Trump said, if I save 7,000 Ukrainians from dying, maybe God will let me into heaven, because it don't look good for me. He said that out of his own mouth. Amen. So that if he's scared, you know those folks around him and under him who don't know Jesus are scared. That's when the message I preached yesterday comes into play as I come to a close. Amen. Called to be a witness. So don't be scared about what's going on. Find those folks who are scared to death and don't know what's going on. Amen. And let them know that Jesus died for their sins according to the scriptures, was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. God is no longer counting men's sins against them. But through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they can be forgiven. Amen. And once they receive the Holy Spirit, then you can teach them what the Lord taught us about these last and terrible days. Amen.
Amen.
Lord God, our Father, we give you thanks today again because nobody could know these things. Lord, every time we see that word mystery in the Bible, we've come to understand that that means things that were previously hidden, you are now revealing. An apocalypse is happening for us, Lord. That means an unveiling. That means an uncovering. That means a revealing. And you have revealed these things to us through the Holy Spirit so that we might not fear like other people. We might not be afraid like other people are, because they have no idea. You told us, Lord, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you didn't want us to sorrow like those who have no hope. And you told us why we shouldn't sorrow. You told us that you was coming back to get us. You told us in John chapter 14 that you was going away to prepare a place for us, and you was coming back to receive us unto yourself so we could be with you where you are. But we ain't there right now. We're down here where what Deaconess Rebecca read to us, these last and terrible days, where all these things that she read about is going on. But Lord, let us do what you said. Jesus, you said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So let us live lives that's as described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 11 and 12, where you said, lead a quiet life, mind your own business, work with your own hands, and we will get the respect of those who are on the outside. You said that, so we can decree and declare that. But let us be the light of the world. Let us be the salt of the earth. Where people sit in the regions of darkness, let us be the great light that has sprung up. When people find life just so unpalatable, let us be that seasoning that makes it taste better. Let us be that agent that preserves life.
Amen.
You have done all of this, Jesus, but the devil is being allowed to prepare the world for the 7-year tribulation period. And these are the things that's going on. But Lord, you said, when the gospel, when that euangelion, that good news, is preached to the whole world, that means you know the last person, when they come in accepting you as Lord and Savior and get saved, we're raptured out of here. Then will the end of the church age come. Right now, the devil is held back, the Antichrist is held back because of the Holy Spirit who exists in us.
Amen.
But when the Holy Spirit, that means all of us through the rapture are taken out of the way, then that night will come when no man can work. So let us work, Lord, while it's day, because that time is coming. And you told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 that we shall all stand before your judgment seat. And we will all give an account of the deeds that we have done in this body, whether good or bad. That's not to figure out if we come into heaven, because you already settled that. But that's to figure out the rewards that we'll receive for having led people to Christ, taught people who are in Christ, and helped those who were in need in or outside your body.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for revealing these things to us. In Jesus' name, let us go down from this place and do what you said. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in their authority, baptize them, then teach them what you taught us, and know this, that you are with us always, even until the end of the church age. In Jesus' name we pray and give you all the thanks in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know that was a whole lot. But just know this, one preacher said it like this, in the end we win.